You're listening to Church Unplugged, the podcast of Christ Community Chapel. In each episode, we look at questions and topics that are connected to our faith in Jesus and the way that plays out in our everyday lives. In this episode, we are recapping the Men's Summit. So this is a few weeks back for us now, but the Lord has done some really powerful things in and through this event at our church. So we just wanted to sit down as a team and talk about the event, what we saw the Lord doing through it, and what we might see Him doing in the future. Welcome in to Church Unplugged. Welcome into Church Unplugged. I'm Jimmy Cozy, part of the team here at CCC. The rest of my guests today are Zach Wyrock, Joe Coffey, and Stacy DiNardo. And we're recording this episode in early March. And as a church, we're just a few weeks past the Men's Summit, which was just a really great weekend for our church. And we've just heard just some really incredible stories about ways that God is working in and through that event, and even things that have happened in the aftermath of it. So we wanted to spend some time just talking about what we've heard, about what God's been doing, and then where he might be going in the future. So that's our starting point today. There's just following up from this thing that God's been doing in our church.
Well, first I want to start with Zach. What did you have in mind when you first started thinking about the possibility of a men's summit?
Yeah, it was this phenomenon that I kept experiencing where I was meeting a lot of guys at the church who were really impressive in their professional lives. They were doing really interesting things they were passionate about in impressive ways. And I kept meeting guys for coffee or playing golf with them and just walking away going, wow, that, you know, even sometimes their level of knowledge and passion about something that I didn't even care about made me care about it, you know, just because it's fun to be around people that are good at something or passionate about something. But also as I spent time with these guys, I was noticing that as impressive as they were in their professional life, a lot of times, not always, but a lot of times, they were equally unimpressive in their personal lives. You know, they didn't have dynamic marriages, they weren't really chasing after their kids, they didn't really have a plan or strategy for their family. And oftentimes they were saying that. Sometimes that was a reason why we were meeting, right? So, and I was realizing that there was this gap between, they felt powerful at work, but powerless at home. And I wanted to find a way in a forum for trying to bridge that gap, trying to help guys see that some of the same skills and abilities and that they use in the workplace can very naturally be used for the glory of God and the good of their family. So that was the starting point. And then, like a lot of times, I brought that in and pitched that to our team, and then it became something way bigger and better than I ever could have imagined it becoming, which is the Men's Summit with over 400 or 500 guys in attendance.
So. Yeah.
What are some of the things that you have all heard coming out of the Men's Summit that just could be encouraging or inspiring?
Well, I know one of the things that we talked about was to win the morning. That the idea was if you win the morning, you win the day, you win the day, you win the week, you kind of create a whole new life. And so there are a lot of men that have come up to me just to say, hey, I'm winning the morning. Yeah. My light's on in the morning. I'm doing what I'm and I've had probably more satisfying is when I've had wives come up to me and thank us for doing the Men's Summit and just saying, my husband is completely different. He is intentional. He is changing, and it was a result of the Men's Summit.
Yeah, I think the emails I got from wives, moms, sisters, like those were the most encouraging because in some ways, the real fruit of the event was going to be measured by them, not even by the guys who attended. You know, all of us have attended things where we get excited and, you know, we have all these plans that never come to fruition. So every time you hear from a wife saying, hey, I'm seeing demonstrable change in rhythms and behaviors and posture, and you think, oh, yeah, boy, that's really great. That's exactly what we wanted to see.
Yeah, and there was such a synergy with the men, you know. And I tell you what, for me, one of the encouraging things is the change that, you know, Zach and I sit up front when we're speaking, so we're in the front row. It feels like worship has changed at our church because a lot more men, I think, are singing. Part, I think, because when you have 536 men together and they sang together, there was something that was very cool about that, very powerful to have the men singing.
Yeah, I'll tell you what else has been encouraging is just yesterday I had a meeting with a guy that was basically meeting with me saying, how do I go to the next? Okay, I'm doing this. Now, here are some other things that I need to be intentional about and I need to fight against and work through. And how do I get here? This kind of like, hey, I've experienced a little success. Yeah. How do I, you know, and you just, I think there's a renewed energy. And I think guys realize the church is full of guys like them who love Jesus and want to serve their family as well. Something about filling a room with a bunch of men and going, oh, wow, I don't think I realized how many guys there are who are passionate enough about their faith that they would give up a weekend to try to grow a little bit, and makes you feel like a small part of something bigger, which I think is great.
Yeah, and I think it was really well balanced too. Yeah, I had no idea what the team had put together. I just knew what my part was going to be, but I just remember laughing and being a part. Like, Jimmy, you were one of the hosts up front. Like, what did you see when you looked out on the crowd that made it was a sanctuary full?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you just never know with an event like that. I feel like there's just such a high engagement level. And I think that speaks to what the Lord was doing, that even on the parts of the event that might be maybe ancillary to the main point where we're, you know, hitting marshmallows into the balcony with a baseball bat or whatever, like those kinds of things. I feel like it's hard to describe other than there've been a few times working at CCC where I feel like you can tell that God is doing something special, and it's palpable. I think, you know, I think of like that weekend, it was hard to describe other than to say you could just look around the room and you could sense, you know, the Lord is at work. He's doing something in the lives of these guys, and whether it's from the goofiness that's going on stage, but then flipping from that to being completely locked in, and then for the messages, and then, you know, just the countless emails and stories. I mean, I think I've met with three or four guys since then who either connected with there or just wanted to connect coming out of there just to talk about like what the Lord showed them and how he's been working. It's just...
Well, and then Sunday when we baptized the man and the guys are fist bumping while they walk toward it, while they walk away from the tub. And I think just the two, it's almost like back when, you know, I went to a lot of new schools when I was growing up. I went to 9 schools in 12 years. And when you start to make friends at a school, the whole experience changes, right? And I just think that the next Sunday, the next couple of Sundays when guys went to church and they saw other men that they had been, you know, chipping with or, you know, just messing around with or whatever, eating a meal with, that all of a sudden they had friends, they had guys that they looked forward to seeing. Yeah. That changes your whole experience of what church is and what it can be.
So that was one of the most exciting things, I think, is that the team recognized pretty early on in the process that theological growth wasn't the only thing that our men needed, that they were lonely. They needed relational connectivity. And they built an event around that, right, that had space. I mean, I was playing golf with a guy who was at the men's summit, and I was asking him what he thought, and he loved it. And I said, what'd you love most about it? And he said, you know, I've been to a lot of church things where it was just content after content after content. You know, you're there for 2 days and you hear 12 talks and it's like drinking from a fire hose and you're going, man, what I really just need is to make a friend.
Right.
And he said, I'm walking around the building and guys are shooting pool and they're playing ping pong and they're playing video games. They're doing the cold plunge and they're eating. And I'm saying, man, this is what I really needed. It's just space to hang out with other guys and make friends. So shout out to the team that did such a good job kind of holding both of those purposes.
How about the cold plunge? That was
amazing.
That was so funny. For those of you who don't know, like a cold plunge is like a little tub of water that we poured ice into so that it was actually 32 degrees. We had a temperature gauge. So that is super, super cold. And we didn't know. We had 50 beanies that guys could, if they all signed up, I mean, they would get a beanie. And there was a line. Yeah. 80 guys long.
Even after we were out of beanies, guys kept going.
Yep. Kept going.
Right?
So well, that's funny. Good. That point
I do
came,
think people know about
pride.
Cold plunges because you have talked about them.
I might have talked about them a couple times. Yeah.
So one thing I wanted to ask was just for the two of you, you know, we talk about like how exciting it is that men were at the event, excited about what God's doing. Why does that matter for the church? Why is it so important that we would design an event specifically for men?
Yeah, I'm sure there are multiple reasons for that. I'm going to leave the data reason to you, Joe, to talk about. I think one reason I would say is that probably a lot of different factors, I think in a lot of churches, men are just lagging behind. You know, they serve less, They participate less. I think there are a lot more wives dragging husbands to church than there are husbands leading wives to church. So I think some of it matters because if you look at our church as a race and everyone's kind of running, men in large part were lagging behind. We're seeing growth in student ministry, children's ministry, women's ministry, right? Where we weren't maybe seeing that was men's ministry, realizing, hey, we need a little bit of a wake-up call, a little bit of a refresh, a little bit of a rallying point. So that's one. We weren't seeing enough traction among the men and realizing we needed to give them a place where some of that could happen. But Joe, why does it matter? In particular, like you think about the dad, the husband, why is it so vital?
Well, I think how a man goes is how the home goes, how the world goes. I believe that, but I also think sociology would prove that. Zach read a book written by a secular sociologist, and then he gave it to me, and I read it. And one of the interesting chapters was on how parents impact their kids and the possibility of their kids maintaining their faith into adulthood. And one of the statistics that came out was if a family has a father who is a deeply committed follower of Jesus, his kids are 25% more likely to be followers of Christ in their adult life because of his involvement. If their mother is a committed follower of Jesus, but their father is not, that has a 1% impact.
Right. What's interesting there is what they're saying is the dad has a significant factor for good or bad. Absolutely. It isn't that the mom doesn't move needle. It's that she's swimming against the current of dad.
Right.
And dad has, it's like dad is leveraging that 25% in one way or another. So mom almost has like 26%, but it only comes out to one.
Right.
But tell us part about grandfathers, because that blew my mind. Yeah. I mean, that blew my mind.
Yeah. And the grandfather is 15%.
That's incredible.
Right? 15 times, crazy. Right? Yeah, with the mother alone.
That's incredible.
If she has a grandfather who is a deeply committed Christian, then that has such an impact. So,
and what's so interesting about that is we're a church where now, between Thursday and the services, we're averaging over 600 kids coming every weekend. That's a staggering number. And so you ask, why a men's event? Well, here's why.
Right.
The number one factor towards those 600 kids following Jesus 20 years from now
is their dad.
Are the men in that room.
Yeah. Right.
Their dads and their grandpas, the men in that room, and realizing, man, we've got to grab these guys, not just for their sake, but for the influence and the sway they hold over everyone else in our church. Right.
I would just add that I think I've heard a lot of women asking, first of all, women celebrating the men's summit, but also asking, hey, what about a women's summit? And what we are always thinking and dreaming about what is next and what would be great and what the women of our church need and praying towards that. But I would just say for all the reasons even just mentioned, it has been unbelievable not only to have a men's summit, but to think about how important that is moving forward, just to rally men and move them closer to Jesus, closer to their families.
Yeah, and there's I haven't talked to a single woman that would say we want a women's event even if it's at the expense of another men's event.
Right,
Every woman is saying you ought to keep doing men's events.
Again.
Yeah. But the other thing that I loved about the men's summit is Zach, you and I were at kind of at a group meeting later on Friday night, and one of the young men said, "You know what? One of the things we were asking him what they felt so far." And one of them said, I have always wanted to be a part of a church that was intergenerational, where I would have older men to look up to. This is that event that, and Zach, for your talk, you had older men stand up and say, I'm willing to mentor. They stood up. Then you said, if you're a younger man and you are looking for a mentor, you stand up. And it was amazing how many men were standing. And then you just said, look around, the answer's in this room. And I know of a bunch of people that have connected with older guys and older guys connecting with younger guys just to start that mentoring process.
Yeah. Yeah. I do want to say too, I mean, we have said this a couple of times in different ways during this episode, but I just want to shout out so many people on the team volunteers that from delivering food, taking out the garbage, planning the games, making sure that stuff is in the building that guys would find. I mean, just really, really proud of our staff and all the work that, I think sometimes guys like Joe and I get a lot of credit, but we have the easiest. I mean, We got up and gave a talk. That was the easiest thing of all the things that were done that weekend. Just could not be more grateful for the team. And I think the question on everybody's mind is, what's the future of Men's Summit? Are we going to do more of these? So, Joe, do you want to answer that?
Well, I have gotten some emails from guys just saying, I know a lot of work goes into that. If you need me in any way, I want to be on that team that will volunteer to. So, yeah, Zach and I have already been talking about it. I think it would be impossible to not do another one next year. And the interesting thing is, Zach and I already talked about it. He's already got the theme for it. You got to know how fast Zach's mind works. Yeah, but
we'll
he's
hold
already
on
got
to
a
that,
theme.
Though. We'll hold on to that.
Yeah. I love the theme. People are wondering how we can equal this past.
The answer is we won't. We'll exceed it.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. It's going to be amazing.
So mark your calendar. It'll be the weekend between the AFC and NFC Championship game and the Super Bowl.
First weekend
again,
of February. Yeah.
First weekend of February. It's going to be awesome. We're not only thinking about that event, but we're also thinking about how to make it bigger, how to make it better, and what exactly we want to see happen in our church as a result. So I know we said this year, don't miss it. Next year, I'm telling you, it's going to be incredible. And you're going to be some of the first people to know some pretty big things for the future of CCC, which we're going to unveil at the Men's Summit in 2025. So don't miss it. Mark your calendar. You can't register yet, but I can tell you this. It'll sell out quick. When we start talking about registering, you make sure you do it quickly. But of course, our eyes are on the horizon for the future of the Men's Summit. But if you're a guy listening to this who was at the Men's Summit, you know, I want to just repeat the words of the Apostle Paul from Galatians 6 to you. Don't lose heart, right? Don't lose heart. Keep, you know, what you sow is what you reap. Keep putting in the work, win the morning, every day, and trust that not only is the Men's Summit going to be bigger and better next year, but your family will be if you keep winning the morning and doing the work.
You've been listening to Church Unplugged, the podcast of Christ Community Chapel. In each episode, we're going to look at topics and questions that are related to our faith in Jesus and to the way that it plays out in everyday life. We want your feedback. We want your suggestions. If you've got ideas or questions that you'd like to hear answered on the show, you can email us at churchunplugged@ccchapel.com. We would love to hear from you. Thanks for listening.